Blog Talk Radio.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
Before you lie.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. We'd like to welcome you back. We're live. We had a couple of pre-recorded shows, but this is the month of May 2017, and we're back live tonight and we'll share with you and hopefully encourage the brothers and encourage the men. Amen. We'd like to thank, first of all, we give a shout-out for the last event in April, the 22nd. We had a man up the van here locally in the Baltimore, Maryland, D.C. area. It was very successful. Brothers were blessed and encouraged, and we just set a momentum for the five ministries that joined us. I want to thank those pastors and those men for coming out and joining us and being part of it. And we're praying for the momentum to start for this following year for men's ministry to reach out to the brothers, encourage the brothers, and also to be able to share the gospel one man at a time. Because if we reach a man with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can reach a family. If we reach a family, we can reach a city, a town, a community, a state, a country, and the whole world, and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it all starts with a man. Amen. We'll open up tonight for scripture and prayer, and we have a couple of announcements, and we're going to get right into the conversation. We're going to be reading from Here we go. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, starting at verse number 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said to him, You bear witness of yourself. Your witness is not true. Jesus answered and said to them, Even if I bear witness to myself, my witness is true, for I know where I come from and where I am going. But you do not know where I come from and where I am going. You judge according to the flesh. I judge no one. And yet if I do judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I am with the Father who sent me. Father God, we say thank you today, Lord God. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, God. We thank you for the manifestation, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for the gospel message, oh God, that he was born of a virgin, oh God, that he was born sinless, oh God, that he was born to be this sacrificial lamb, oh God, that will wash away and cleanse us of our sins, oh God, by his shed blood, by his sacrifice and death. And also the resurrection was proof of his power over death, that we one day will also be raised with him and in glory. Father, continue to watch over our families, God. I thank you and I bless you for the men on the call. I thank you for the men that are listening online. I thank you for those men who have participated in the Man Up event, for those pastors, those leaders, and all those who are blessed by the gathering and fellowship. So we continue, God, to ask that you watch over their lives, that you keep them, that you strengthen them, and that you be, and that you would keep them in a safe place, God, so they have your protection around their hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. Amen, amen. Again, we have to thank the pastors and churches. We have Jesus Lives Family Ministries with Pastor George Sharps. We had Covenant Life Ministries by Pastor Joseph Falwell. We had Pastor Barnabas Offer from Victory Christian Fellowship. We had, New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders with Pastor Etta Banks. So we need to thank them for participating in Man Up this past month in April, the 22nd, and we look forward to doing more fellowships and more gatherings. Amen. Also, we have announced we have a men's fellowship coming up. It's going to be Men's Night at Kingdom Nation Ministries, and they're located at 3208 Frederick Avenue in Baltimore, Maryland. The zip code is 21229. It's Pastor A. Scott Rosen, or Anthony Scott Rosen, and you can give him a call at 443-924-6283. And again, that's on Friday night, May the 12th at 7 p.m. And they're having a men's night, men's fellowship and gathering. So we encourage you to reach out, be part of that. If you go on our Facebook page, the Issues Christian Men's Talk, the link there, you'll see the invite, the flyer, the announcement there, and get the directions. Go to your Facebook page. You get the directions to the church. So we invite you to be and join part of that. It's one of our one fellowship coming up. And again, if you and your church, your men's ministry is having a gathering, a fellowship, or event, we urge you to reach out to us, post it on Facebook, connect with us, and share the announcement or share information, and we'll be sure to post it and also share it here on Issues Christian Men's Talk. For those of you first-time callers, you called in at 646-668-2636. Also, you can listen online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to this show. All shows are archived there. You also can listen live every Monday night at 8 o'clock, every Thursday night at 8:30 p.m. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor Colomar, can you hear me, sir? Good evening.
Yes, I can hear you, Brother Deacon. God bless you. Good evening. How are you, sir?
Wonderful. Good to hear your voice, brother. Thank you for joining us, taking time out of your schedule to join us tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, because I'm looking here, I see the brothers calling in. But what we're going to talk about now is one of the things we talked about at the Man Up event. And I wanted to touch upon it because it was a blessing to the men. So I just wanted to be able to share what was going on there and be able to share with my listening audience, my faithful listeners. Amen. Tonight we're going to talk about the roll call to greatness. We list seven statements, biblical fact. These truths are about you as brothers, as men of God. This is who we are when we're saved. I think one of the things we struggle with in the body of Christ as men is our identity. And we have to sometimes be encouraged and shown who we are and that the truth of who we are once we become Christians, once we give our life to Christ and become men of God. And that's one of the things that we talked about here. So we're going to talk about some of these things and how Scripture describes us now that we are redeemed, now that we're saved, and now that we're men of God. You know, it calls for us that we would stop fighting to see who we are. We have to understand that the Word of God teaches that we are, that the victory is ours. We're fighting for something that's already been won. I use the example from the military. You know, you don't continue to fight after the war has been won. Now, and you don't put that much effort into it. And I think, and I believe we think we have to struggle with getting our lives together. We have to struggle with doing a lot of things. But our heart conversion and our true conversion is supernatural. It's the indwelling Holy Spirit that God puts in us and uses and starts to transform us. And we've changed positions from God's enemy to God's child. And we can't do anything for that because the gift of salvation is a free gift that we receive. And once we're in it, I think a lot of brothers have a problem with they didn't really do anything. And then they think they have to do these other things, and they're fighting their will, they're fighting their thoughts in their mind, that they think they got to But it's a supernatural transformation. So today we want to encourage you with a couple of scriptures and a discussion today with Pastor Cornwell and myself, just to encourage the brothers that you're fighting a fight that's already been won. It's over. For my brothers in sports, you're boxing. If you knocked out your opponent, they stop you from punching them because you won. It's time to raise our hands and celebrate our victory. And it's nothing else we need to do. It's for, you know, with my brother and, you know, for men, as we know in sports, once I win the game, once the game is won and the clock's out, it's over. We don't keep playing. We don't keep playing. We won. And that's why we have to see when we give our life to Christ that where we are, our position, where we already have the victory. And we must accept that reality and take time to pray and ask God to reveal it to us, the truth of what it means and what we receive when we receive Christ and the indwelling Holy Spirit in us. Remember, it's a supernatural thing, but we have to be able to walk and understand who and read and understand the truth of what Scripture says about who we are. So let's begin. That's cool. I'm going to let you start us off. Because on the first one, we talk about I am a redeemed man. What do you say about that, sir?
I think it's very, very important. The when he says I'm a redeemed man, we're looking at Ephesians chapter 1. And the reason why a lot of times we as men have a problem with accepting the fact that we've been redeemed is honestly because we don't understand the value, what it means to be redeemed. I preached a message one time about when you get a coupon and say we can redeem. You know, when we redeem the coupon, we think that the milk or the bread may normally be $5, but you have that coupon and the bread is now down to $2.50. And too often we thought that redemption by utilizing that coupon, it lowered the value of the bread, but it didn't lower the value of the bread. When we redeem something, it means that you're expressing the value that you see in it. So that means somebody's willing to tell you that it is so valuable that they'll even pay for part of it so that you can see, you can taste and see how great that bread is. And it's the same thing with us when we're men, as we're redeemed. Our value has been redeeming, not only a partial price like you would do with a coupon. Jesus paid it all. And when we look at Ephesians, again, for an example, the first chapter of Ephesians, and you see verse 13 and 14, and it very clearly says that in whom you all trusted after you've heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the day of redemption. And I think that it's imperative, it's so, so imperative for us to be able to understand that we had to believe, we had to trust, and trust in God's word and then the gospel of salvation and being able to believe in it. Being sealed, all these things are important. These are not action words, but they're words of faith words. These words are power words that are being used to describe. And be honest, it's manly words. You know, as a man, not only are you trusting in this unknown God, but holding his value upon you, now you walk in as a man that's trusted. You walk in God's word of truth, and you start walking in truth, and your value increases. Your who you are, His Spirit bleeds through you. When you're saved and you believe and you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, in that earnest inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, because we've already been bought with a price, like you said earlier, Brother Deacon. But that's a mindset. And to be honest, especially, and I have a multicultural church, but because we find that men, well, I'll just go there, men in general, not just black men, but men in general, we find that we really don't understand the war, the battle that we're in, where Satan desires to sift us as men, to move us out of our position. And it's a war going on where he wants to kill the head and make us think less about ourselves or battle among ourselves over things that's not valuable. And if we feel our car is not what Deacon Farr got, this nice, pretty red car, why don't I have that? So now I feel my value is lower because I don't have what you have. Or my house is not up on a little hill like your house is up on a hill. Then it's a problem with my house. And we begin to feel bad about ourselves because our praise does not reflect our relationship with God, because we're looking at our situations and circumstances, and we have to realize something. We've been bought with a price already. God has elevated us to a position of kings. And so, therefore, whether I'm in a little box or whether I'm in a house upon a hill, I need to realize that Jesus already told me, has declared me as being not only paid for and redeemed and lifted up, I've been raised up to sit in heavenly places. Brother Deacon.
Amen, sir. You're right. And what we have to do, we have to understand that our life is no longer indebted to sin. You know, that's what we hear about being purchased with a price and the blood that was shed, Jesus Christ's blood that was shed, purchased us. That means we're no longer worthless. Because, again, if when we're in sin, our lives, you know, our lives, our eternal destiny is in rebellion. And it's not being used by God. But now, because of Christ, we have value. We're important to God. Because God sent his son, sent Jesus Christ, to redeem us back. But we have to understand we are redeemed now. That our faith makes us indeed redeemed. And that the indwelling Holy Spirit also is what do I call it? Like when you go buy a house or a car, you have to take a down payment. And that down payment goes to you owning it. At some point, and praise the Lord, someday you pay your house off after 30 years, 15 years, or you pay your car off in 2-3 years, then it's yours. You have ownership to it. But that's what we understand when we talk about being redeemed, that God, now we are God's child. He owns us, and his indwelling Holy Spirit in us that leads and guides us, that secures, that gives us a sense of security of our eternal salvation. And our future inheritance is to be with him full-time, bodily, in his presence. But that indwelling Holy Spirit, while we're still here on earth, is that like that down payment and its value. And God, and because God sees the value, he wants to buy us all, but he gives us the Holy Spirit until our time to stand before him as a down payment for our secured inheritance. And again, it's easy when you walk securely in who you are. And that's what we talk about, you know, being secure in our salvation. And some of the things that we struggle with, we don't have to, because we're God's child. And sometimes we cannot let circumstances and things move us off of that foundational belief and that foundation. That no matter what, because I know, you know, here in America, Pastor, I want you to share on this, because here in America, sometimes we cheapen our salvation.
Exactly.
Because the big submits with doctrines and false teachers and false, and, you know, and all kinds of folk that tend to go out there with Christianity, and we tend to cheapen it here. But again, when we look worldwide and broaden on her, and we look around what's going on in other countries, other places, There's a price to be paid, and folk are willing to pay that price. But we have to also see, even though, because God controls every man, every human being, where they're meant to be born and to live, and there's a purpose for all of our lives. But we have to remember, here in America, we cannot cheapen that we are purchased and redeemed with God. What do you think about that, sir?
Well, Deacon, I'm glad you said that, because, well, more so in the 20th century, we find that, let's be more, in the last 50, 60 years, I'll say 100 years, we find something's been happening, okay? We find that men here in America, we feel as if when we hear the word of God, it's almost become like a foreign language to us. Because the words back in when America was first founded, and many people argue about this, and whether you want to argue about it or not, I don't care. But people who are listening, we have to accept the fact that America was founded by men who believed in God. Period. Case closed. The Constitution was built on the fact of men who believe in God, no matter how erred some of them may have been, you know. And some people are upset because they said some of them own slaves. Yes, this is true. But the bottom line was no matter what, these men believed in God. But see, a language, we've had language of the Bible has been diluted. I'm very fast to becoming more and more a King James only man. I'm going so far in that direction because I have these other Bibles, but it has watered down the gospel. We find things that don't, words have been removed from common everyday Christian vernacular, and we find people who should be leaders as men. Our language has, we don't, when we hear stuff like you're owned by God, we get this sense in our chest, like, ooh, like we feel like that makes me little. That makes me small. That makes anybody own me. I'm not a sucker. I'm not no baby. I'm a man. I'm a grown. But see, the word, it has a negative connotation because the world has flipped it on Christians, and the world tells Christian men how to think. And we've been absorbed, and I think it's a Borg, and Star Trek says we've been assimilated. You know, and it says that the resistance is futile. That's what the world teaches Christian men, that there's a way that the world has set up for us to believe, and we will begin to absorb that way of thinking and pull away from the Word of God. The fact that God owns us, He loves us, is not a negative thing when you say God owns us. It's a positive. It's a good thing. This is the greatest entity that is. This God breathes, and multiple universes jumped into existence. You know, stars all over the place, and they're all perfectly balanced, and there was no accident. And yet this awesome, powerful, almighty God has a personal relationship with us. He desires to have a personal relationship with every single man. So when He takes ownership of us, He drawing us close to Him like a father does. And unfortunately, many men in here in America, our religion has been, our relationship with God has been diluted to the point where we see, even with our relationship with our fathers, we have strained relationship at best. We tell our sons we just beat them, we'll hit them, we'll yell at them, be a man. But we don't really sit down and let them see what it's like to be a father, a loving father, a father that will wrap our arms around our son. There's nothing gay about that or wrong with that. You know, to love your son, to give him a hug, or let him see you take some time to nurture a relationship. But that mentality has been warped into either yell at him, scream at him, tell him you're a man because you got to, but not show him the value of what it means to be possessed. I tell my children, this is not a democracy, it's a dictatorship. I own this home. I own everything that you wear, and I give it to you freely because I love you. It's the same relationship that God has with us. He gives to us freely, and by the relationship He has with us and owning of us and everything that we have free access and great access to it, and we realize that we are owned by Him, and everything that we have, He owns as well. Brother Deacon.
Amen, sir. You're correct in what you were saying, and that brings to my memory something we talked about. Well, I talked about someone else because I'm reading this book called Slave, and you're right, that ownership, that word slave, because for my scholars out there, if you look at the King James and do your research on word, wherever you see servant testament when Paul used it, and even when Jesus used it, that word is really translated slave. But when it was written as servant, because again, like Pastor was saying, that negative connotation. Excuse me, man, I messed that up. That negative thought we have when we hear the word slave will turn people off because of generations, because of slavery throughout. Because again, slavery has been part of the human existence since the beginning of time, since history. You know, but it's seen as a negative, and I believe it was King James when the translation, they on purpose changed that word to servant, but it's slave. And again, what you were saying, that brought that to my remembrance, and that's a whole other show we can do. Because if we are slaves to Christ, and what our position is with Christ, because He is our Lord and our Master.
That's right.
And again, that's another word that have been, you know, tweaked, so that it wouldn't be so offensive and be more powerful for people to read. But that's another show. Amen.
That's right.
This is Christian Men's Talk. Amen. I'm Deacon Thomas Farley here with Pastor Maurice Cornwell, Overseer Cornwell, and we're doing the roll call of greatness. And some things we wanted to encourage men about who you are in Christ. If you give your life to Christ and as Christian men, as godly men, some of the things that this is who we are. These are statements of fact of who we are now that we are in Christ. Pastor, I'm gonna share something with you, but it is that I am all, and I'm an all and nothing man. And I'd like you to, if you could, find this John 15 and 5. And I just wanted to share with the brothers, it's when I say I am an all and nothing man, that means I can do nothing without Christ. I can do all things with Christ, and I am more than a champion. I win all things in His will that God has for me. Because as men, as husbands, as fathers, as sons, God, oh, we can do all those things to fulfill all those roles through Christ, because that's the will that God has put us in. And again, here, Issues Christian Men, so we talk about the responsibility of men being leaders in their home, being leaders in the church, and being leaders in their community. And we can do all that through Christ. We can lead well. We can be servant leaders. We can take responsibility and authority for the things in our life and those in our life through the power of God and through His Word. Because now that we're saved, that we're redeemed, if I go back to the first thing, we're redeemed now. We see the world. We see what our roles are, and we see what we're supposed to be doing. And for us to and be able to fulfill those God-given roles, it's God in us. But again, we struggle. You know, we have brothers who struggle being husbands, struggle being fathers. Because I know Pastor Coleman, we want to talk a little bit about this, because we take the wrong view and have the wrong vision of what it means to be a husband and a father. We succumb to what the world says instead of what Scripture says. Pastor, you have that for me? Could you read that real quick? John 15:5. And then share your thoughts on who we are and that we can do all things. We're all and nothing men.
Roger that, I got you. In John 15:5, it reads like this: I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. For that basically is saying without Christ, and here's where we have a problem as men. We say it differently in the world. In the world we say, I'm an all or nothing man. I'm all or nothing. That's who I am. I'm either all or I'm nothing. I'm either all in or I'm not there at all. And we change where God says I'm all, you're all and nothing. Not or, but and. Because the more you become in Christ, the more nothing you become. Because you want that to occur. Because without him, there's nothing that we can do. And here's something that I try to share with a lot of men. Men don't understand that the Bible says that in this world we will have tribulations. We will have tribulations. And tribulation is not that thing that's like a trial. A tribulation is that thing that just cuts you to the bone. Tribulation just sticks with you, and it sticks with you, and it sticks with you, and it sticks with you to the up times and the bad times. And you still, but the thing is, a man, we have to remember, it's not about praying, oh, God, get me out of this. Lord, I would be a better husband if I had more money. No, Lord, I would be a better father if my car could not break down all the time. You know, Lord, I would be a better friend, but you know, the problem I have is that, you know, my wife this, my kids this, and all this. You know what? You're not that special. Everybody has problems. Everybody has tribulations. Every man's going to go through something. And what we have to accept and embrace is that champions are not made by being taken out of struggle. A champion is made when you endure and press through the trouble. When you go into the gym, you don't get bigger and stronger because you walk through the gym. Oh, take me out of this gym, God, so I can get strong. You have to press that weight up off of you, and you have a spotter there that will stand, make sure that you will be safe, that you're in trouble, that you won't get in trouble. Well, that's what God is with us. He's our spotter, and the great thing about it is that He's giving us the power to lift His weight, and He's doing it all for us. And the more we say, "Listen, I don't know what I'm doing. Can you help me? Can you take me into your spiritual gym, God? Can you show me how to become strong?" He will not only show us how to lift the weights, He'll give us the strength to lift the weights, show us how to do it the proper way. So when we walk out of that gym, it won't be easy. No, you still got to do some pressing. And when you walk out, you're going to be sore sometimes. But the thing about it is, as you put your time in and you get stronger and stronger, here's what happens. Because without Him, there's nothing that we can do. Absolutely nothing. No marriage can't get stronger without Christ. Our children cannot get stronger. It doesn't happen by osmosis. Our daughters are going to be flirted with. Boys and men are going to try to talk to our daughters. Girls are going to talk to our boys. Hey, these days you got girls trying to talk to our daughters and men trying to talk to our boys. You know, but the champion comes when we are in God's will, when we are trusting His will, and we're yielding over and letting Him be our master teacher. And what ends up happening is, I can do absolutely nothing. But being that vine, I mean, we're attached to Him. And by being attached to Him, and we're like those branches that are springing off from Him, as long as we stay attached to Him, His blood will flow through us, and His power will flow through us, and we can be an example of Him. and just like a branch will bring forth fruit. But when we detach from him because I'm already, no, I got this God, that's when stuff starts dying around us. And too often as men, we don't realize that. When stuff is dying, it's not God's fault. It's our own. It's time to make sure you check your oil, make sure that somebody can tell you, brother, you're detached. And we get back attached to God again so he can be able to help us to bear some more good, not just great, but good, but great and awesome fruit for him.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, you know, you're right, and we have to understand that we are all in, or all or nothing men. You know, we are to come under submission to God, under submission to Christ, and the things he's called us to be and to do, we can do through him. And nothing, we won't be able to do anything that he has not ordained for us to do, that he has not gifted us to do, and direction he wants us to lead in our lives. So sometimes the struggle, the things that we go through, it's all a test. Sometimes we don't want to pray. We have to learn to stop praying and come out to be delivered, but we pray to get us through, Lord, so on the other side. First of all, like you said, we're stronger. And the second of all, we have a testimony that we can share and encourage the brother that's coming, that's going to go through the exact same thing. Because that's one of the things we talked about when we had at our conference. We have more in common than we are different. The things that we deal with as men, as husbands and fathers, we all deal with it. We deal with it at different stages, different levels, but it's all the same stuff. And as men of God, in a men's fellowship, this is how we can encourage one another. You know, but we have to get to a place where we're open, we're transparent, and we're honest with each other, and we're building those relationships that help to edify and grow us up and encourage us. Amen? Amen. You listen to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We have one of our regular brothers came in. I want to see if you give him a couple minutes to share before we move on. Brother Boone, good evening, sir. Can you hear me?
God bless you, Deacon Farr. God bless you, Pastor Conwell. How are you?
Hey, brother. God bless you,
brother. You said you wanted to share, brother?
Yes. I was listening to you, brothers, about, you know, the pretty much like the introduction of Christ, of God, and then the scripture that you read of the 15:5 of John. You know, that I was thinking that really needs to be implemented in the church more, meaning it's like an introduction to why we're all actually sitting in these pews. It's to gain that relationship with God. And why do we need God? Because we can't do things on our own. Because a lot of churches, or sometimes people will speak over the heads of people who are not knowledgeable or have any knowledge about why people are in these pews or why do people go to church. Some people are dragged along, as you know, to church. I was dragged along to church, and a lot of things was over my head, you know, of what they were speaking out of the Bible and the principles. But, you know, they say you have to get to, you know, you got to get it out of that infamil. You got to get to the milk, but you got to get the infamil first so you can get to the milk and put away the childish things. So I really was thinking these gentlemen are really hitting it on the head where, because people are listening to us, but if we go above them, they're not going to have any knowledge about it, and they're not going to have any patience to grasp and quench the spirit of what we're actually implementing. So we have to be careful of how we insist and set the mind and the spirit of people, brothers, sisters, whomever, of why we walk the way we walk, why we talk the way we talk, where did we come from, why did we come from there, the why, what, and where. What do you say, brothers?
Amen, sir. You know, you're correct, and that's one of the things when we talk and we share about the fellowships, the ministry to men, to be able to disciple men. That's what the Bible speaks when it says about discipling when it says reach all the world and disciple them, you know, it's not fill up the church and fill up the chairs. It's disciple people that they might have an understanding and understanding of their faith, knowing who they are in Christ Jesus, and then being able to spread that thing. And, you know, I got my pastor's brother here, and we talked about this earlier. It's about, you know, sheep, but God's sheep. But if you keep your sheep pinned up in a barn or keep them in a fence, then that goes, you can't produce no sheep that way.
Right.
You know, you can't, you're not doing it. But we have come to the point where we're discipling folks. We have to get back. I believe in my heart. I'm not going to say everyone because I'm never like to make blanket statements. But for those who are listening, in your ministry, in your church, are you discipling folk to understand the things of God so that they may be able to spread the seeds of the gospel and share the gospel? Live it out. Be hearers of the word and doers of the word. Live it out in their lives that they connect. And then also, are you making disciples? That's what we're called to do. And this is why we have a passion here at Issues Christian Men's Talk for ministry to men. Because if I can disciple a brother, if we disciple men, they can get through these trials and these temptations that Pastor Corn was talking about before. Because without discipling and teaching and mentoring and coming alongside, it's for naught. We may have people sitting in that chair, but if we don't have time, like and what Brother Boone was saying also, in that discipling, you try to figure out what the people heard you say. If that's why there's a teaching time, there's preaching, there's teaching times. And sometimes teaching time is answering the questions of those that you are mentoring, because that's what true discipleship is. If we look at what Jesus did with the 12, and especially I like picking on Peter because he's my favorite brother, that brother, Jesus had to correct him and rebuke him a lot. But he was, of all disciples, he was the leader, and he had a great responsibility. What do you think, Pastor Cornwell, that importance of that, what he was saying, that be able to speak to people where they are to get them to where God wants them to be? What do you say, sir?
Yeah, and that is so, so powerful, Brother Deacon, because what ends up happening with men, and here's the thing that what God did with Peter. God revealed his mysteries through his heart. You see, because even though Peter was kind of rough and kind of like the typical man, his heart was in a position to receive from God. And the Bible is loaded in Old Testament and New Testament over and over and over and over again where it says things like God will make known his mysteries with boldness, and God will reveal the mystery of his will, and how God will reveal the hope of his glory and the mysteries of his kingdom. In fact, I believe it's Matthew 13. Let me see.
While you're looking that up, I'm giving a quick commercial. This is Issues
okay.
Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr, and I just wanted to share we have upcoming men's event real quick from the Kingdom Nation Ministries on May the 12th, Friday, May the 12th at 7:30 p.m. at Pastor Scott Rolson. You can give him a call at 443-924-6283. And again, we invite you to come out for Men's Night at Kingdom Nation at 3208 Frederick Avenue in Baltimore, Maryland, 21229. That's Cornwell. You find what you're looking for?
Yes, I am. It's in Matthew chapter 13. He was talking about the seeds that fell to the ground and it took the soul from 30-fold. And the disciples came to him and asked him why he speak to them in parables. And he says, why he speaking to everybody in parables? He said in verse 11, because he answered and said to them, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him it shall be given. Whoever hath more, abundance. And whosoever hath not, he shall be taken away even what he hath. We have to remember the fact as men that God desires for us to know him. And if a man desires to know God, we got to remember God. It's not that we're standing at God's door knocking, trying to get into his house and get to know him. He's standing at our doors of our hearts knocking for us to get to know him. He wants us to know him. And so there is nothing that's new. There's nothing that's so dastardly. But we as men, I'm going to break it down real easy. we begin to take on the woman's mindset because I have problems, because something happened bad to me, because something, and we get so much into our emotions that we can't stop and see what God says. I want to draw. Yeah, it's okay to have emotions. It's okay to have feelings. It's okay to realize, but we need to move closer toward who God says we are as men and what he expects from us. He desires for us to know his mysteries. He's making it plain to write it upon our hearts if we desire to know him. But see, when you and I don't desire to be a disciple, then we wonder why we're going through, man. You know, I got this happening in my marriage. You know, man, I got this going through. I'm not that special, and no one of us are. None of us have gone through anything that's so special. Either I've lost my father, lost my brother, I lost my mother, I lost my sister. I lost a lot of people. Some of them were very tragic, and sometimes things were bad in my life. But that did not give me a reason to say, oh, because my life was so bad, then therefore that's why I have no hope. But my hope is not in my situation. My hope is in Christ Jesus and him alone. And upon him, like Peter, that rock, that Peter understood who Christ was, thou art the Messiah. Because he caught the glimpse of who Christ was, he was able to build upon that rock. And that's what we have to instill in our men in church, to get us back to understanding that it's not about how bad, how you grew up on welfare, or whether you grew up with a silver spoon in your mouth, because you can be just as bad off and feel just as miserable. You have to tap into Christ. Without him, you are nothing. And the devil desires to sift us and make us men get focused on everything else but who God says we are. And because we don't know who we are, we accept the world's prepackaged, or repackaged false analysis and false description of who we are as men and what God expects from us. And that's why we fail, because every time we use those measurables, it comes up short. And then we wonder why, because we're not using what God said we are, or we're not walking in who God says we are. I'm not saying name and claim it, but I am saying that we have to strive and press and push and press and push and believe and just fall on our knees and give in to what God says. Brother Deacon.
Amen, sir. Amen. You're right. That's the whole purpose we're talking about tonight here. We're taking the roll call of greatness, because the battle is won. And as men of God, we have to start to walk into those things of God and know who we are and who we've chosen. So far, we have made the proclamation of who we are, that you are a redeemed man. Your life has been, the debt has been paid for sin, and Christ has paid it. So you are redeemed now. You have an inheritance with God. The second one we talked about tonight was I am an all or nothing man. I can do nothing without Christ. I can do all things with Christ. That makes me an all or nothing man. The next one we're going to talk about tonight, we're going to touch on that. I'm a chosen man. Pastor, we're going to go to, if you could, find us for Ephesians chapter number 4. As I prepare to the audience, and I just want to share your insights on some of the things we're talking about here, that we're chosen. That we have to understand that God handpicked us. God handpicked us before the foundation of the world, who we were going to be in him. God already knew. He knew our lives. He knew the stuff we were going to go through. I don't care if you got saved 25, 35, 35, 45, or 55. God knew. God had a plan for your life because he's all-knowing. And the thing that we went through when we were unsaved, that was to prepare us to be used in the kingdom of God. You know, some folk got saved at, you know, what do they call it? A cradle baby. They got saved since they was whatever. They were saved in their mother's womb, you know. That's fine. But even no matter when we got saved, God knew that thing, and he knew, and he chose us. We got to understand, we're handpicked by the Father to be his son. Our salvation is not accidental. It was on purpose and intended, and God planned it. So we have to see that no matter where we came from or how we start out, it doesn't matter. Because now God loves me just as much as he loved the one who got saved when he was 10. Because that's how God is. That's how big and endless and limitless God's love and grace is for us. So we have to walk in that thing, knowing that God handpicked us. We're not an accident. We didn't stumble into that church drunk, high. We just because our girlfriends, we drag chasing a girl, we ran up in church, or our wife nagged us to death to get to go to church. God knew all that. But now that we are men of God, know that we're chosen. We were handpicked for him and the things that he called us to be and live forever, even though we don't even understand, we didn't deserve it. So it's not about us. It's God knew what was in us and chose us. Pastor, get that scripture for me and tell me what you think, sir. Oh, I think I lost Pastor Cornwell. Can you hear me, sir?
I was talking. I had the mute button. No, I apologize. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, actually. 4 is what it is, but 3 is tacked into it. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And basically, just this is letting us that we are exactly what he said we are. But if we don't realize that we're blessed, and it's not some spiritual blessings, God already knew what we're going to go through ahead of time. And because he's omnipresent, omniscient, and know this battle we're going to incur, he has provisioned, given us provisions to fight these battles and to be able to stand up and walk upright in holy. For the whole end is because he loves us. And he did choose us. And people, this word predestination is two schools of thought, the Arminian, of course, and the Calvin. And both of them have some true aspects, and both of them have some aspects that's not so right. But when you talk about predestination, God didn't predestine us to the point where you have no choice. There's one of the schools of thought believe that you have no choice when you because God predestined you to be saved, there's nothing you can do to not be saved. And because God predestined you, though, you not to be saved, there's nothing you can do to become saved. Well, I don't believe that's scriptural at all. The Bible says that we do have freedom of choice. We're free agents, free will agents to be able to choose. And a predestination does not mean that he chose, oh, I'm just going to arbitrarily just pick who's going to be saved. It's not. Because he saw the choice that we were going to make already, he placed that in time before time and set it up from the beginning of time all the way to the end of time, what we would need to fulfill that what we need, because he knew we would accept him as the Lord and Savior, that we would go through and we will overcome. But we have to believe. We must be born again, first of all, because you just go to church and, well, how long you been saved? All my life. That doesn't work for me. Or not, that's not biblical. You cannot be saved all your life. You have to know when you were born again. Like, you know how old you were when you got your driver's license. You know how old you were when you got married. If those things are significant, then the most significant thing should be when you were born again. And if you don't know when you were born again, my brother, you're not. Flat out. Period. If you don't know when you gave your life to the Lord, you may not know the exact date. You should, but if you don't, you at least should know the time frame. You should know if you were 15, 16, or 17, or it was on a Friday night and I came into the church, like you said, stumbled in drunk. You should know something about when you were converted. It should have been a true breaking, you should have been some sort of humility, some sort of breaking first, contrition, and then to yield yourself over to the Lord and receive him as your Lord and Savior, and then the building. But that's where it comes in, and knowing that he chose us before the foundation of the world. He knew that I would fall on my knees on a Friday night and down in Jacksonville, North Carolina, and come to him and say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me of all my sins. He knew that would happen to me. He was ready to meet me right there because he said, you know what, I'm choosing, because of his choice, I'm choosing to accept his choice, and I'm going to bless him with everything he needs to be holy, because I love him. It's that simple, Brother Deacon. Back to you, Brother Deacon.
The Bible calls it reveling. The Bible calls it the sin, the drugs, the womenizing, the things we did, the running around we did. God knew all that, but yet he chose you. So for those brothers out there, so your background is shady and shaky, it don't matter. It doesn't matter. God chose you. God's going to use you because he's going to use your entire life, your unbelieving, sinful life, and your redeemed life because of who you are now, that you're justified. You've changed positions. You've changed sides, and God's going to use you. Brother Boone, you want to share anything on what we're saying here about being a chosen man?
Oh, yes. Being chosen. It's something, when you say being chosen, I feel like falling right to my knees, thanking God that he did choose me, because I yelled out to him that day, as Pastor Cromwell said, you know when it hit you. I mean, mine was while I was driving. I called on Jesus, and ever since then, I've just been giving my life to him, my sacrifice, my burdens, my love to others. It's a powerful thing to be chosen, and you have to be glad to be chosen. It's the greatest thing on earth. I must say, to be chosen. And all you have to do is choose him. Being chosen by choosing him. And he has his arms already waiting for you. Even as we all know, when we have our back turned to him, his arms are still open. It's a graceful thing. It's a merciful thing. I could go on and on, Brother Deacon. Go ahead.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. You're right. And that's one of the things, too. And when what we do is Christmas talk here is, again, encourage the brothers. We want to edify the body of men. You know, that's our whole passion. That's why we do the things that we do. We put stuff together. We support men's ministry because we want men. Let me slow down because I want to share that, you know, we don't want men who sit in church for years and struggle with their faith. They struggle with being who God called them to be. They carry the burdens of life, the circumstances of life. People who know me, I've shared. I've been unemployed, lost jobs, fired from jobs, laid off from jobs, been broke, been disgusted, been whatever, been broke down, been, you know, all of those things. But then one day you come to the revelation, you come to yourself and understand who God is, why God came. You hook up with some brothers, some strong brothers who have come through some things, but also have a compassion and a wisdom of God to share and encourage and uplift you. And now you submit unto it. And then once you come to the faith, once you accept the free gift of grace and salvation of Christ, your life's going to change. I'm not going to give you, you know, because Pastor Cone was here, keep me straight. We're not preaching prosperity. You're going to get a car, a house, your whole life going to change. Your bank account's going to triple, double, and you got money coming. That's not why Christ died. Christ died for your eternal destiny and for your soul. And then through your faith and obedience to him, he's going to use you, and you're going to see the fruit of your salvation in your obedience to him. And the more you love him, the more he's going to provide. Because God, he's a provider, but he's a provider of our needs. And as we mature, our needs and our wants are two separate lists. And God knows what you need because God can see way down the path of our lives. We think right now we might need this, this, and this. But God knows what we need. This is a whole other show, Pastor Cornwell. About what is biblical contentment. I'm just saying because there's so much distortion of what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Sometimes we need the plain. Yet we got to bring it back and make it plain. You know, we got to get past the church services. But again, I'm sorry, I won't go there. But we are men of God. We are redeemed. We are all or nothing men. We are chosen men. And to be chosen, and I take you back to your childhood. How did you feel being chosen, first for the team or last for the team? Because back in the day, we used to go to the park. It was pickup games. Two people called captain, so they had to pick. So, you know, they knew how everybody played, who was first, the first people getting picked, how'd that feel, and then how'd it feel to be the last guy picked, then how'd it feel to be not picked. You had to wait for the next game. That's all I'm saying. That's where I'm brought up. That's my foundation. So God has chosen us all, and he loves us all just as much. Even if he saved you, you know, them, you know, like you said, them brothers that saved all your life, that's fine. But I know God loves me just as much as the ones who were in church their whole life. But yet, you know, he loves me just as much because when I came into Christ, his love is the same love. So don't think because you've been there a long time and your butt is shaped into the seat, that God loves you more than the person just walked through the back of the door of the church. Amen? Amen. You've been listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm here telling us all. We're here with Pastor Maurice Cornwell. Pastor Cornwell, we're coming to a close tonight. What I want you to do, Pastor, is to pray us out and give us a word of encouragement to end the show, and then you can close us out with prayer. And again, I appreciate you for taking time out your schedule to join us tonight. And I pray that, you know, all the things, I pray the blessings of your family and over you, and hopefully your schedule allows you to join us again in our coming weeks, months, years, days, whatever it is. Amen?
Amen. Again, yeah, thank you for also, Brother Deacon, for opening up this forum and having this forum and having a heart for men. Men, let me say this, just to spin off what Dick said, it's just so imperative that we realize it doesn't matter whether you're white, black, Asian, Hispanic, Native American, upper income, middle income, lower income, broke, super rich. It doesn't matter. God, it doesn't matter if you've been in church for just part of your life, all your life, for 2 days. God is an equal opportunity God. He has equal love for us all. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, to whosoever believeth. And that believeth is an ETH, which that belief that goes beyond. That's not just, oh, I believe in God. It's a belief that's submitting to Him and committing to Him, willing to accept everything that He says He is, and ready for this, everything, men, that He says you are. And that belief is a belief that takes action, a receiving, an acceptance, a choosing, because once you choose Him, like the brother Boone said, then He accepts that choosing, and He can move in you. And so definitely, men, be encouraged. Reach out to Deacon for a call, email, write, and then I'm Pastor Maurice Cornwell of Uplift Through the Word Ministries. Look us up at upliftmd.org. And we can talk together, and Deacon Farr has been doing this forever. Please reach out to him at Rejoice TV. Father God, we love you for just blessing this man of God, Brother Deacon Farr, for having this forum, for opening up this door for men, for Brother Boone, for the man of God to join us on tonight, and for all those men who are listening, have opportunity to listen to this program, that they will be blessed by understanding that you are the God who loves us, who intended to bless us men, to draw us closer to you, Him. Father God, we thank you for allowing us, Father God, to realize that no matter what we go through, when our finances are bad, our relationships are bad, that we're not going to give up. We're built to stand, to go through, and to trust you in every endeavor. Even when things are bad, even when they're good, to still trust you and to still walk as if we still trust in you, not just relaxing, Father God, but to stand and still pray just as hard, like we are in battle, because we are, even when the finances are great, cars running fine, marriage is fine, kids are whistling Dixie, we have to realize we're still in the battle, and let us continue to press the same way, that we can realize we are not only redeemed, but we are all, and we're nothing, man. We also are chosen men, and God knows us. We're blessed, and God has accepted us as who we are, and we are free. We love you, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, Pastor. I thank you very much, Brother Boone. I thank you. Appreciate you for joining us tonight. And again, we are Issues Christian Radio. We're live every Monday night at 8, every Monday night at 8 p.m., every Thursday at 8:30 p.m. God bless you, and we'll see you again soon.